cry, they stop and for none. And when the is done, we agree that the sea is the best place to be. Wondrously free, they live happily. They know from the past, life simply doesn't last. So they live for today, for tomorrow they may not be able.
I thought something a little bit more tropical was appropriate, considering it's freezing here in New York.
This is awesome.
It says Bonobo with Bashka, Walk in the Sky.
Awesome.
Yeah. Get some groove going. I blow you kisses to the sky, and off to you I let them fly. Each one has a wish I wrap in love, then send to you so high above. I feel you watching as I do, and I know you hear each I love you. So every day I send them high, these kisses I blow to the sky. By KP out of Ashes from Facebook. This is Swan, and I'm blowing you kisses from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop on Radio Free Brooklyn. You are listening to Ink and Worm, and I'm excited today. We have some poets here. One of them's here, one of them's coming. So Cooper is Brooklyn-based. Are you from, you're from Maine, you said?
Yeah, I moved to Brooklyn maybe 4 years ago. I kind of bounced around a while. Like, I grew up in Maine and then moved to Berlin for a little bit and moved to China for, like, a spell.
Because why not?
Basically. Like, I applied for a job in China, like, just to practice writing a cover letter, and they gave me the job. So I thought, hey, I'd never been there. Let me change my life completely right now.
Well, that sounds like, yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You are a writer of poetry and fiction independently. You write independently and for Opiate Magazine and Big Words, etc., as well as the creator and curator of Poetry and Strangers, which engages in a three-step process. A poem is written, that's number one. Two, that poem is sent to a randomly selected stranger in the mail. And three, that poem is posted here for other strangers to see. What a cool project.
Thanks.
Tell me about that.
Oh, I kind of grew out of... I used to have this job in the mail office of a dormitory for students, and I would send emails. Like, part of the job is you had to send emails to people if they got packages. And I kind of found that boring. So what I would do is I would send an email that was usually, like, written in a very flowery way, like, oh, greetings unto you, great tidings, for today is a day of great fortune, a missive is sent on to you, and then would throw in, like, a picture of a shark or something that I thought was cool, or like, hey, here's some Japanese jazz, or some death metal from Spain, and it's sort of like a version of that, though at the same time, sort of like, I feel like a lot of poetry is poetry nobody asked for, and that's sort of the joy of it, like, no, like, a lot of people just don't go looking for it, so if it finds you instead,
like,
yay,
the,
everything.
Like that, the poetry you find on the subway?
Kind of. Okay, controversial statement. I don't like the poetry they put
like
up on
it.
The subway. I think it's bad,
good.
It's lame, it's boring, and it's going to turn people away from poetry. There, hot take, right there.
Well, here's the problem is I agree with you, so you don't have any controversy because I have never been inspired by a poem I've seen on the subway.
Wait for the internet. The internet's going to get so mad at me, I hope.
Oh, well, you know.
Controversy.
What is it? Bad publicity is good publicity, something like that. I'm not sure. That's a great idea, and I love like how random to get not a bill, a random like postcard with a poem on it, curated specifically for this person that you've never met.
Yeah, I hope people like it. I haven't gotten any responses.
Do you have a return address?
I don't. That's probably why.
Postcards.
But, like, no one's also really... It's weird, because, like, so Humans of New York
yes.
bumped into me at one point, like, in January, and I happened to have, like, 5 postcards on me that I was going to go to, like, a FedEx store and scan. And so he took some pictures of him, the Humans of New York fella, who is wildly tall. And so I got, like, hundreds of emails from people just saying, like, I want one of these, which is great.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, like, work through that backlog. It's sort of like being a commissioned poet, except I'm not getting... paid, so it's mostly like being a commissioned poet.
My words aren't coming because I'm multitasking. I'm looking for a song that was on Spotify an hour ago and has suddenly disappeared for the end of the show, so I apologize for being distracted. And also, if you hear any noises, that's Ben Taylor. He's deciding to crash the party here today and take pictures because he takes wonderful pictures. So if you hear things banging around, I don't think anything bad is happening, but that's just Ben. So what kind of poetry inspired you to become a poet? Is this something that you've always done?
It's weird. So I wrote a little bit of poetry in high school, and Valentine's Day, appropriately, it was mostly to flirt with this one girl in my chem class.
Ooh, what's her name?
Rita? She was called Rita.
She was called Rita. But is there a poem called She Was Called Rita?
No, I think the one poem that I really, like, pulled off, it was about seagulls eating trash in a parking lot. It was sort of like a funny...
For Rita.
It was basically for Rita, yeah. So there. Really funny if the girl I went to high school with was listening to this right now. And then I sort of, like, go over for a long time. And then I had, like, a huge, like, I started college as a molecular biophysics and biochemistry major and then switched to poetry to go where the money was. And that coincided with, like, a big old breakup. And so I started writing poetry that was really bad and miserable and dumb. And then I stuck with it, so, like, I stopped being depressed, and the poetry started being for its own sake, and it started actually being good, and, like, a nice way of sort of refracting everything in a safe and joyous way.
Did we already talk about maybe inspiration in terms of poets? Did you start reading poetry as you were writing?
Yeah. I started reading a lot of, like, Frank O'Hara and Robert Creeley, and after a while I fell in love with James Schuyler. And I ended up writing a thesis about him and, like, reading him and not sleeping. So I ended up having a lot of dreams where I'd be, like, in an interview room in a police station and James Schuyler would, like, be, like, behind the two-way glass or something. those were good days.
That's interesting. I'm not familiar with him, but it sounds like his poetry is inspiring.
Oh, gosh. He was really, really depressed all the time and in love all the time. And he's sort of like an embodiment of that thing James Merrill says, that the loved one always leaves. But with him, he would still, like, give in to just unguarded, unmitigated love. And so he had this great poem about going to the beach. It's really long, but there's a great line in there that's something like, "Why can't every day be like you?" And it's just like, oh, golly.
Oh, wow.
Feelings.
So
feelings.
I was reflecting this morning because today is a Sunday, February 14th.
Lupercalia.
Yeah. So I was writing this morning about, you know, there's that stupid cliche is, like, better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. And I'm like, I kind of wish I didn't fall so hard sometimes. Like, I fall hard and fast and then the person leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could have, you know, been a little bit more protected maybe. And now I wouldn't, like, be quite so, I don't know, sad.
I understand. Like, I feel that, and I've had that thought process, but I've also, like, come to believe that you can't have the great ecstasies unless you, like, make yourself vulnerable to them. So you, like, just, like, this is the price of the ride. You pay the ticket, you take the ride.
I think part of it, well, I'm mulling over a lot of thoughts, so it's not, you know, it's one of those processes that it's never dogma. It's never, like, this is the way it is for
nothing's
me.
Nothing's ever done, man.
But I'm just, like, I was relatively recently... not shafted, but forgotten, I guess you could say, and, like, finally accepted, like, okay, you know, you can't keep holding on to something.
Did you get ghosted?
I got a little bit ghosted.
I'm sorry.
That's the worst, because you're sitting there like, did I do something? Is this just life happening? But then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, but I'm so glad that I was at least open to that happening in the first place, and I'm open to it happening again, even if, you know, it's not like... fireworks and butterflies and whatnot. It, like, that grit of just, like, getting to know somebody is a part of a process where you get to know yourself too.
Totally.
By reflection.
Yeah, engagement.
So the more you guard yourself from that, the less you have insight into yourself, I think, too.
Yeah.
Self as other, other as self. It's like writing about this morning, so my thoughts are still in that digesting stage.
That's great. I wish I was using Valentine's Day and my pain of recent months to reflect that well on the, like, the place of the self, because mostly I've been, like, thinking about, like, the way poetry relates to, like, black magic and necromancy, and, like, that's fun, but it's not nearly as, like, useful for me becoming a person.
Unless you happen to be in a scenario where all of a sudden you need poetry, black magic, and necromancy.
That's true. I may need to someday raise the dead poetically in myself.
Yeah, with black magic. So it's good to know those things. What kind of things open channels for you? Do you ever, like, do you sit on the subway and, like, oh, I have a poem? Or can you, like, step into a creative space?
I mean, it tends to happen out of nowhere and largely against my will. Because I'll go on, like, Wikipedia and hit the random page button and see what comes up. Or I'll be at work and...
That's an inspiration generator.
It really is. Or, like, I'll be, like... this. But this is just, like, a thing I do when I'm bored sometimes. Or, like, I'll go to work and I'll be reading a footnote in a book or something like that. And be like, oh, I didn't know that Elizabethans thought that every time you sighed, a little bit of blood came out of your heart.
And oh, that'll gosh, suddenly, I'm like, in trouble.
Dude, we're all in trouble.
I sigh so much.
If Elizabethan medicine were true, we'd be in so much trouble, every single one of us. all this collar, golly. And bile and such.
Yes.
But, like, so that'll happen, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to take 5 minutes and open up an email right now and write a poem to myself and mail that to myself so I can have that for later. Because inspiration has hit me out of nowhere, unfairly, none of my time. And that's not nice.
But... you can't control these things. You can only say yes.
That's a great... can I steal that as, like, the opening quote of something?
Yes, please.
Cool.
I'm a big fan of thievery. I think the best things are stolen, and imitation, you know, is flattery. But yeah, there's also the whole Mark Twain, like, thing of, like, there are no new ideas, meaning that everything's just being recirculated.
Right.
And it's just the people who are grabbing hold of things and doing something with them that are getting the attention, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if something's out there, you might as well just... it's sort of like... a lot of times it feels like a poem is this thing that, like, every time you read it, you're giving it... you're, like, making it live again.
Hmm.
Especially if, like, you read it out loud. And I feel like that's true of almost anything, where it's, like... it's not enough that you could go into a book and find out that Percy Shelley spent April 19th of one year sleeping on a settee instead of on a bed. It's like you have to actually go and find it and read it and, like, engage with that, and then it's actually real again.
And the value of reading poetry out loud is transformational. The other thing I would say is, have you ever memorized poetry?
All the time.
Doesn't that change it?
For
me, I didn't like Shakespeare until I started memorizing him, and then I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something about, like, just the experience of... because when I memorize poetry, I do it so I can say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about feeling your throat conform to somebody else's words.
Yeah.
That really makes you feel like a vessel for the poem in a way you might not have been. So, like, that really changes not only your engagement with it, but just, like, the way in which it's now being manifest into the world.
And you're speaking powerful words, like... through, I like that. It's like, if we want to explain it through a scientific way, it's these vibrations and energy moving through your energy, which makes it a completely new and unique experience, right?
Totally.
No other person has had that experience with that poem.
Right. Especially, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you, like, recite a poem to yourself 18 times over the course of a year, just by merit of the fact that you've done it, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times before that, that just changes the experience so much, because, like, it's now... this thing that's getting old and then new and then old again.
That was my experience with Shakespeare. I only have one of his sonnets memorized, but every time I say it, I'm like, huh?
Which one?
Can
you do it? Is it mean for me to put you on the spot in your own show? Is that not cool?
You know, it's good to be called out. I think it's 16, or is it 116? I think it's Sonnet 16. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or by nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair which thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when into eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. If you could see me, I'm like, woo! Beat red. I'm so embarrassed.
Poetry win.
But I did a poem.
I wish I could high five you. Like we're really far apart.
High five. Thanks. Your turn. Put you on the spot.
Okay, sure. Jiminy Cricket.
Do you have a poem called Jiminy Cricket?
I don't. I should. I just exclaim it a lot. It makes me feel sort of like Jimmy Stewart a bit. Okay. So there's a Frank O'Hara poem called As Planned that I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, after the first glass of vodka, you can accept almost anything of life, even your own mysteriousness. You think that is nice, that a box of matches is purple and brown and is called La Petite and comes from Sweden, for those are words that you know. And you write them because you know them, not because you understand them or how they feel, because you don't. You are stupid and lazy and will never be great, but you do what you know, because what else is there? It's really bleak, but like in a very, I think it's upliftingly bleak.
But there's catharsis in that. It's like, you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that liberation of like, I can't do everything, but I can do this one thing.
Exactly. And I mean, it's one of those things like, you know, it's the doing that matters, not the, like, the success or the outcome necessarily.
Yeah, done is better than perfect.
Dude, yes. All these things I'm going to steal from you today. This is
We'll have
I'm
a recording.
I'm benefiting so hard from this.
We'll have a archive online, so you can just listen to it on repeat. Have you ever done that?
Listen to
like a podcast or something, like something that just like spoke to you and you just like kept eating it up.
Yeah. Especially because like the Poetry Foundation, this is very germane. The Poetry Foundation has like a Poem a Day podcast and. I was mega depressed in Hong Kong, and I was just listening to the same Robert Haas poem just over and over and over and over again.
It gave you peace.
I wouldn't call it peace exactly, but it made me feel like somebody else was in the room loneliness, and so that was nice.
Commiserating. Yeah, I do memorize a lot of poems about being lonely.
It's kind of a lonely art poetry, though I don't... Wait, I take that back, actually. I disagree with what I just said entirely.
Okay, carry on.
Oh, well, because, I mean, I don't. It feels like one of the things I've really enjoyed about doing poetry, especially in Brooklyn, is that there are so many places to publicly do poetry and then engage with people because of that. So it does really feel like there's a strong sense of poetry bringing people together into a community of mutual support for not one, like not just each other, but also for the art form itself. Like we're all sacrificing ourselves on the altar of good work and way to go us.
Yeah, we're writing poems. Well, my friend had an interesting experience where he felt like in some ways he was on the show and he felt like he would go to these events, like a poetry event, and go with a poem that he'd been working on for a couple weeks. And read next to people who wrote something on the train on the way there real fast.
Yeah.
And he had a hard time with that because he was, like, struggling with, like, the investment factor.
Mm.
And I'm kind of like, you know, it could work both ways. I think everyone who writes has had moments of writing and having something just, like, pop out. And you're like, oh, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And then having something that's been, like, in process for months and months.
Right.
I was just checking. I think this
might
be
at the door.
Oh, knock, knock. Please come in. Would you mind closing that? Welcome. Great. Let's introduce our second guest. This is Cooper Abiola.
Hi, I'm Abiola.
Nice to meet you.
And this is Ben. Abiola is also a poet, free writer, and content marketer whose metaphorical writing style is derived from personal theories and experience researched knowledge. She's also a photographer with a style that's based on her perception and interpretation of visual elements. Abiola Lawal, is that how you say it?
Lawal.
Great. Thanks for being here with us. I'm glad you made it. The subways weren't running. My bus was delayed, but we're all here.
Yes.
We were talking about poetry, community, how there's a lot of poetry about loneliness, which makes you feel better about feeling lonely, but there's actually also a lot of ways in which poetry builds relationships and connects people.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, and shout out to my parents, because today is their 39th anniversary, so happy anniversary, Mom and Dad.
Aww.
That's beautiful.
39 is...
Yeah. Oh, not 39, sorry, 29.
29. That's how long I've been alive. So they have a relationship as long as me, as old as me. Never mind. I'm always impressed when people can, like, say more than, like, 3 years. I'm like, wow, how do you do that? That is, like, beyond my comprehension. I have friends that I've had for 7 years.
Yeah, the generation today is different.
It's a different.
Definitely different.
It's more like, I don't know, is this like attention deficit dating that we
it's
just.
It's more frivolous, I'd say, yeah.
I got a good laugh from that one. Yeah, it doesn't feel as loaded, and it doesn't feel like there's this need to get married and make babies. Like, there used to be a pretty big emphasis on get a job, get married, make babies, have a house, like, all these things.
Yeah.
There's a shift away from that.
I've met babies. They're fine. It's whatever.
I used to be really afraid of babies. I thought they were aliens. Like, but in, like, a legitimate sense of, like, my sister would be like, here, hold my baby. And I'd be like, okay. Like, and have, like, this panic start to rise in my heart. Sorry, sister and nephew, who's very cute and not an alien, I don't think.
Yeah.
You can never be sure.
They're so mysterious. They come out of nowhere. Like, they come out of, like, two cells that, like, join and then, like, start to... Isn't that an alien?
It's a seed, I guess.
It's a seed.
You call it, yeah.
Growing. Anyways, I'm glad that there's kids because, you know, population... this was a really strange tangent. We're talking about Valentine's Day and relationships and modern relationships. Anyways, and poetry. You guys are poets based in Brooklyn. Are you from Brooklyn originally?
Well, no, I'm from Nigeria originally, but I live in Coney Island, yeah.
Nice.
Lagos.
Nice, and I'm from Utah, so we have three Brooklynites that have relocated to be here because it's a nice place.
Yeah.
When did you come to Brooklyn?
When I was 10, so I'm 23 now, so that's 13 years, yeah.
Amazing. Great. And did you have anything you wanted to talk about or promote on the show
today? Well, I was going to look up some poetry that I had on my Instagram and just read that.
Oh, perfect. So. Yeah, share something with us. My poem was, like, nice and fluffy, talking about beauty. Yours was, like, a little bit more intense, but talking about how... but they're all about...
I'm all about intensity and enthusiasm and high fives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we brushed past it, but I really like the catharsis that comes from, like, it's like when I read the book, He's Just Not That Into You. I feel like that poem does a similar thing. It just, like, liberates me because I can't...
Yeah.
I can't do everything, but I can focus on, like, this next step, this next thing. I can't have every guy like me, but eventually there... will be a guy that is into me.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Are you ready?
Yeah, I found a little something that I was going to recite. It's called Commune In. It's sort of dark.
Okay. Yes.
Catering to my pleasure. Let's commune in spite of our endeavors. Complain inside this cadaver. Best enjoyed at night with slates and daggers.
Ooh.
Nice.
I like it.
Thanks.
I think this is an appropriate time of year, and with the weather being so frigid, I think it's appropriate to get a little dark and get a little, like...
Yeah, love is dark, but beautiful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's beauty in darkness. Definitely.
It's only at night that the stars come out. Guys...
Oh, I feel like I've heard that before.
Leaks, I thought I just made it up.
my
heart is a night full of stars.
Oh.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Are you nervous?
Oh my god. I think stars are there in the day too, right?
Yeah, they're hanging out. Yeah. Oh my gosh, speaking of stars. Stars, have you guys seen Stardust?
No.
Stardust?
No. What is that?
Okay, it's a movie. I think it came out in 2007. Anyways, my guilty pleasure lately has been watching it every day. And it's a really great movie where basically a necklace knocks a star out of the sky and then adventures ensue. But, you know, stars are people too, just playing in the sky. And just because you can't see them, does that mean they're not there? I've got some really deep questions here. And maybe Twitter me your answer. Just kidding.
Astronomical question. Yeah.
You know, our stars there. But there, I mean, I feel like not only is the season symbolic of, like, a death and rebirth, but there is a lot of death that, like, I feel like has been around. David Bowie just passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, the guy that played Snape.
Rickman.
Yeah. he passed away. But even in, like, personal lives, I feel like for some reason, like, winter is sometimes like a season of mourning. Things that have passed.
It's cold. Yeah. It's dead.
It's dead.
Yeah.
You get down to the bones of things and, like, see what...
It's
see
freezing
how,
outside.
See how frail we are. Oh, my gosh. Talking about, like, just doing one thing, just getting to the subway, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I have to, like, pep talk. And then even out there, just, like, the wind hits and I'm like, oh, there went anything that was warm inside of me. Like, just gone. And I can, like, one more step, just a step. Yeah.
This is like the starter version of the eventual heat death of the universe.
Yeah, climate change. Yeah, it's a thing. Things are changing. Although this is my first winter in Brooklyn. You're here 13 years.
Yeah.
You've been here.
Like four, I think?
Like
right?
Four.
What year is it?
2016.
Okay, three and like 8/10 of a year.
8/10.
That's good enough. Yeah.
That's pretty close. Could you narrow that down to days and possibly hours for me?
Sure. No. Let me put a pen for a second.
I'm teasing. So I moved here last April. So this is my first winter. And up until, you know, this past week, it was really pleasant. I was like, oh, everyone makes a big deal about winters being awful. But it's still like it feels like springtime with one blizzard thrown in the mix. Yeah, it's cold. And it's supposed to be cold for a few more days yet. So we'll warm our hearts
for the rest of our lives. That's how it feels, like it will never end.
Yeah.
But it will.
It will. It will be spring again, really, and not just like a teaser. What is that? Is that an Indian summer, Indian winter?
I think it was El Nino, yeah. Yeah.
Something.
I think it is something like that.
There is there's this quote. So I have kissing quotes, blowing kisses specifically, that I collect. So if you have any, I open my show with them. But there's this one I was reading this morning, speaking of El Nino. She's Caitlin Scheel says, "Do not fall in love with people like me. I will take you to museums and parks and monuments and kiss you in every beautiful place so that you can never go back to them without tasting me like blood in your mouth. I will destroy you in the most beautiful way possible. And then when I leave you, you will finally understand why storms are named after people."
Like, that is super metal.
Yeah. It's kind of intense, but
it's brutal.
To be a storm that blows into someone's life, like a storm. Were you guys in town for that blizzard?
Yeah.
Like 2 feet in like 24 hours.
I saw it, like, just fall over my balcony. Just like 2 feet of snow on my balcony, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I liked it. It's an extreme, definitely. I mean, if we're going to get snow, why not get it all at once, right?
If anything's worth doing, it's worth overdoing.
Yeah, and I loved we think I talked about, they have like a no-drive law.
Yeah.
So there weren't cars on the street, so I was just out in the streets running around with my dog, sliding in the snow. It was pretty rad.
Yeah, I went on the boardwalk by the beach, and I just fell in some random snow piles here and there. I was like, yeah, I had fun.
Nice, yeah. Like the whole city becomes a playground for a few hours, and then it gets hard and gross. I think that's our challenge today. If we can take anything and turn it dark and maybe a little bit twisted, that would be preferable.
I think I was
and then bring it back.
and then we can bring it back, yeah. Because you got to end with hope.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Unless you're dead, in which case there's no hope, I guess. You know, you're just dead.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you guys have something special planned.
I'm going to drink Evan Williams by myself and watch one of the Hellraiser movies. I think Hellraiser Bloodlines, because Scott McKay from Parks and Rec is in that one.
Oh.
So that's going to be fun.
That sounds really heart inducing. Just the rhythm makes your heart skip a beat. Yeah. How about you? Any special plans?
Oh, I think I celebrated it a little earlier this week, so I'm just taking it easy.
You're solid.
Yeah.
Cool. I think my dog's going to be my Valentine, and I'm going to just, like, cuddle with her all night and eat licorice and possibly popcorn. Yeah, that's my plan. It's good to have plans on days like today. Yeah. You're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, consider becoming a part of the community by pledging. You can pledge a one-time donation or a continuing donation. And think about it this way. If you donated $1 a month, that's $12 a year, makes a big difference for us, but really it's just like the cost of a nice cocktail, right? So if you're interested, I don't know if this is working right now, but radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And Ink and Worm, where we're exploring all things reading and writing. I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey, Abiola, and how you became a writer and a poet.
Well, I've always written for a while, just on and off. I had my guitar, and I tried to practice with that, and then I tried to write some songs. And then I ended up just, you know, leaving it alone. And then I think about 3 years ago, I discovered just, like, the art of writing again when I started to take creative writing classes. And I realized, like, how much of a talent, like, you know, I had in sense of just, like, putting things together and being able to articulate my mind's thoughts, you know, in a very uniformed and metaphorical way. And I feel like I speak in metaphors just due to the fact of how my mind analyzes situations.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed, like, how it came out, and I've been doing it since then.
Have you continued with classes and, like, getting that type of feedback, or just on your own?
No, because I took some college classes, and then after that I just free wrote. I did content writing, copywriting. I also do journalistic writing, so, like, I have a lot of different, like, styles, and I just mesh it together, and then it just becomes cool, yeah.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, like, the different perspectives you would get from, like, the same thing in terms of, like, looking at it as an artist or looking at it as, like, a journalist. I think that's similar to, like, Wikipedia random page, like, generator. Just, like, what's going to come out? I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if you guys have had any influence that you've noticed that came out of your travels and, like, the experiences you've had. It sounds like you guys have both been to different parts of this earth. How much has that influenced the words that you choose and the way that you see the world? If at all, you know, you could be like, nope, didn't faze me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I've seen a lot, you know. I've just, it's a sense of greatness and just, like, not too many vile things, but I've seen a lot of vile things over the internet, which, you know, that changes your perspective in a rapid rate. But in sense of just, you know, traveling, being to Lagos and seeing a different perspective of living in Africa and how beautiful it is, and then coming over here and seeing how great
Tony
it is.
Island. Do you, you live know, by the beach?
Yeah, right by the beach, by surf. So,
ooh,
yeah.
That's
so
nice.
I live right there. And they're building, like, a sound theater right on my block, and, like, by 22nd Street, and I'm just appalled by that.
Oh.
By the way,
I feel like I forget that we, like, are kind of like a beach town. Like, the ocean is just right there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, being in the middle of Brooklyn, I forget that the ocean's just right there. Like, even as I hear barges, I'm like, oh yeah, we live by the ocean. That's, I forget.
Yeah.
I don't know why I forget. Anyways, how about you?
Oh, I mean, so one of the cool things about, so I lived in Hong Kong for a little bit, and one of the cool things about that city is the sort of vibe of where you are changes really quickly when you walk a few blocks, because, like, it's a weird mixture of, like, Blade Runner and a very sterile duty-free shop. So that sort of, like, affected the way I, like, look at, like, the way you make a poem, because instead of, like, making this cohesive, like, this need to make, like, a thing that works as a machine by itself, like, kind of like a sonnet where it's like, we're making a cohesive argument, we're going to come to a conclusion at the end. Like, I really like the idea of, like, making that's, like, polyvocal, where it's like, we're going to talk about this, now we're over here, now we're over here.
Kind of like this show so far?
Basically, this show, yeah, I feel like I'm being influenced by this show in my poetics. Even now. And so it's something like that. It's just like the joys of digression was what that city really helped instill in me. This one too, because, like, oh my gosh, I was walking to work one day and I was in, like, Manhattan, and there was this giant dust cloud that came off of the roof of a building and just filled the street I was in. So you couldn't really see more than 3 feet in front of you. And I tried to hold my breath so I wouldn't breathe in whatever this was, but I couldn't because it was just a really far walk. So, like, I walk out of that and then go a block up, and it's like it never even happened. There's no sign of it except in me coughing up soap. it. But like, there's nothing else there. That's the great thing about this, like this city, is like it's frenetic, and there's just difference and change
it
every single
frenetic.
Step of the way.
And yeah, and just so many people like bumping up that you have these like intense moments of feeling connected, followed by these like intense moments of feeling alone in a crowd. And it really can happen like on the same subway trip where you're like, we are all one.
Yeah.
Everything is beautiful. And then like some, I don't know, something happens and you're like, nope.
It's like it's a melancholy effect or something.
Yeah. These like waves.
I think EMF waves?
Maybe. Or maybe it's like the moon like pulling on our emotions.
I was researching on like low vibration frequency waves that they sort of emit in the like atmosphere at times in order to, I guess, perhaps just like, I don't know, like
echolocation?
I'm trying to figure out, yeah, like what they're doing with that. But there's been some sightings of that. Well, not visual sightings, but
some.
I heard about that. Like, there's something like there's like higher rates of depression among people who work on like power lines just because they're like always exposed to low frequency electromagnetic waves or something like that.
Oh yeah,
I could see that.
I mean, we talk about, you know, the scientific energy of the body and vibrations and words, like that's a thing too.
Well, yeah, we have to remember that we're electrical creatures.
Yeah,
so
carry a charge.
Yeah,
and sometimes your charge sparks with somebody else's charge.
Love.
Love.
Valentine's Day. Today.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
Oh. Silly. I forgot.
It's easy to, I mean, do we need to, I mean, you can love somebody any day. You
Definitely.
Don't need a holiday
you can,
for that.
You don't.
Yourself.
That's why we should make Valentine's Day a second Halloween or something. You don't need it.
I think that capitalism is trying. Have you been into a grocery store?
It's trying. They have succeeded.
They're like candy,
that's true.
Flowers,
like a better
costumes.
Candy
no, you can dress up.
Wait,
you can
what?
Dress up in costumes that
As,
have
like St. Valentine or
mm-hmm.
like
or something small and
a
lacy.
Big heart.
You know, lingerie is like the most expensive per square inch fabric like that you'll ever buy.
Yeah,
good to know.
Like for the surface area that you're covering. You're paying a lot of money.
Well, it's about what you don't cover,
I think,
with the whole... Sorry, that was... Yeah.
Or it is about what you choose to cover. It's about what you don't cover. I think covering is more sexy than not covering because it's this mystery. Whereas if you see, like, everything, then you're like, oh, I see it. And the brain is like, I can see it. Whereas if something's, like, slightly hidden, then your brain's like, what's behind that, right? Like,
yeah,
you get
well,
a little preoccupied with the potential, and your imagination goes crazy.
Yeah.
No?
I concur.
I like that, yeah. A lot of people are not practicing that, though, so.
No.
Well, I mean, they kind of are in this weather, because.
Yeah, in this weather, but online.
Oh.
They'll go home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
in the safety of your heated home, anything goes. But out on the street, it's been very modest lately, you know. As even in, like, the blizzard, there was people I saw with skirts. I haven't seen anybody walking around with skirts. I was sitting there wondering how the hell they were doing it then. Like, I can't imagine somebody, like, exposing kid now. Like, my nose, like, feels like it's going to fall off my face. And I just, like, walk a couple blocks. It's like, so cold. Happy Valentine's Day. I was going to make a comment about water. I asked, like, if I could bring you guys anything to drink, and you were like, water with pH above 7
yeah.
or
like,
Icelandic water?
Electrolyte water. That correlates with us being electrical humans, so
yeah.
It helps vitalize the mind faster, better.
Really validated by that, because I'm quite the water snob. And, usually I just bring my own water wherever I go, like, because I'm, like, filtered water, or, like, you know, I don't want tap water, and so I was like, nice, like... Do you have any water preferences? like the wet kind?
I like water that is cold.
And clean.
Oh, do you put ice in your water?
I don't.
See, I hate ice in water.
I do too.
I like the simplicity of water because it's sort of like, well, I could get this fancy cocktail with 18 ingredients, or I could get a glass of mostly one substance with little bits of this and that in there that I don't
and
need
to And it tastes
know about.
So good when it tastes like water.
Dude, it does.
When I was in Utah, we lived by an artesian well, and that's when I, like, converted my boyfriend at the time, because...
What's an artesian well?
It's water that bubbles up with, like, natural minerals from the planet, and it tastes, like, crisp and clear. Like, you try and describe drinking water to someone, and they're like, big deal. But it's like, if you've had water that, like, is, like, so satisfying, and there's, like... I mean, they add salt to water to make it taste better. Mm-hmm. But if you have water that's just, like, naturally enhanced with minerals, it just tastes like, I don't know.
It tastes
sustaining.
Real.
I don't know.
We have different enhanced, like, so I'm from Maine, and I lived in the Lakes region. And there the water is largely enhanced with things like anonymous gels that probably come from fish in some way, and, like, twigs. And bits of moose, and so there's sort of like there's nothing
so
in this water.
If there's some dirt in it, like just filter the dirt out and drink what's left.
I mean, you know, there are many methods. You can use your teeth as a filter. I wouldn't recommend it.
It's not very effective unless you're a whale.
Like iodine tablets. Yeah, if you got like a baleen, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not here to tell people with baleens what to do because they're winning. Already.
They're doing good work in the world. It's quite...
Shout out to people with baleens. Happy Valentine's Day.
So water in Maine.
It's good stuff. Actually, it's weird because every time I see a Poland Spring truck go down the street, I'm like, oh man, it's from home, but also they're messing up my parents' water table and I wish they would not do that, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Bottled water. And you know, it's that one of those like mixed feeling things. So bad.
Yeah.
You gotta drink good water, because aren't we, like, 75% water as human beings?
And something like that. 77.
So, or maybe, like, 90. I don't know. I forgot.
Is it 90?
I don't think it's 90.
Yeah.
I think it's 70-something.
I could Google it.
I feel like I'm 50% death metal and, like, 30% water.
And partially Evan Williams right now.
Right.
I'm 70% water.
Speaking of.
I think if I mention that I'm drinking Evan Williams right now, I'll get like some sort of sponsorship deal.
Yeah, possibly.
Evan Williams, send me free things.
Do a nice promo.
Oh, yeah.
You're a poet.
Hi, everyone. If you're feeling alone on Valentine's Day, or you're actually having Valentine's Day with somebody you care about, why not make that moment more special with the sparkle that can only come from a small plastic bottle of Evan Williams? Since 1783, Evan Williams is making people slightly less themselves, but slightly more themselves at the same time. And now you too can participate in this rich legacy with Kentucky's first distiller, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey from Evan Williams. Drink responsibly, but not too responsibly.
I'd buy that.
Send me free stuff, Evan Williams.
Smooth.
That was very nice. Impromptu commercial for whiskey from Kentucky. Did we find out how much of our bodies are water? Or were we looking?
Yeah, I think it does say 75, 78. And then it says dropping to 65 by 1 year of age. So is that why old people, like, look drier sometimes?
You're losing your water. It's like the vital essence.
I'm 1% left.
It says men have less water.
That hurts my feelings.
I'm just reading the internet. In adult women, fat makes up more of the body, so they have more water. Wait, what?
This is interesting, yeah.
I used to have a lot of intrigue with water. There's this Japanese photographer, who takes pictures of like water crystals that have been exposed to particular words. Have you?
I heard about that. Like if he's mad at them, the crystals look weird. So but if he's nice to them, the crystals look nice and organized.
He has to do with sound vibration as well.
Like, yeah, he talks about. I mean, for him, it's like microscopic photography. I found out about it from the film What the Bleep Do We Know. And there's a scene there with all the pictures and, like, particles of or, like, molecules of water that are exposed to the word, like, love or nice and pretty and, like, symmetrical and words, water that's exposed to things like I hate you, I'm going to kill you, like, get all, like, asymmetrical and, like, globby and strange. And you know, there's hokiness to it, but it's also, like...
It's very true, like, honestly, because, like, it goes down to the etymology of the words itself and, like, what it means, and that's why my blog is called My Etymology, because it's like my interpretation of my words. So it does say like certain words carry certain vibrations, like when the human mouth speaks it, it creates a certain frequency that is invisible to us.
Well, and musicians use that a lot in terms of like the way that they're recording their music, like what frequency they're using has an impact on the hearer. I don't know that much more. I don't know more than that because I'm not a musician, but I know that I had one friend who talked about like using the same frequency as the heart chakra to record his music because he wanted to like deepen that connection to the heart. Anyways, The Hidden Messages in Water is a book by Masaru Emoto, which has pictures of water molecules if you're interested in checking that out.
I hear, a friend of mine was talking last night about the O.J. Simpson show. It's on Netflix, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch.
I don't watch that.
That reminds me that I remember hearing somewhere that, like, during the initial O.J. Simpson trial, like, because the country was sort of unified and, like, being focused on one event in a very emotional way, random number generators started going really crazy. Like, they, I guess, would pick, like, one number in succession over and over again, which sort of is something almost, like, collectively yelling at water, except the water is a series of ones and zeros.
That goes into like computer language and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's like, kind of like that fun quantum mechanics thing where it's like if you observe a thing, you change the actual physical nature of the thing.
Well, that makes me think of the meditation experiment they did. They reduced crime in Washington, D.C. by 23% by having 4 weeks worth of transcendental meditation groups, just like mass amounts of people in one city meditating like on a consistent like basis, reduced crime in that city.
Just I can see that.
Talking about, you know, frequency and vibrations. If you're around people who are operating at a higher vibration, violence goes down. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope your vibrations increase in there. I hope there's resonance and...
I hope everyone's picking up good vibrations.
Yes.
Getting excitations.
Actually, I have something to read.
Oh, perfect.
Inspired from this.
This is about poetry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is called Energy. Perfect. Right. Kinetically speaking, the feeling is believing in this vibration that we're breathing in. The true need is to fulfill the speed of endless seeds that dissolves through any means on timeless scenes. The electric field of collective dreams has reflected a guild of selected springs to become anew for the universal spin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, or were we supposed to...
Oh, that's the...
This whole time.
That's the convention right there.
Yeah. Did you have any more poetry you wanted to promote?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to hear a love poem or an anti-love poem?
Oh,
We need balance.
I want to hear...
Okay, I'll do both.
Can I be selfish?
Please, be selfish.
Okay.
It's Valentine's Day. which one first? Do you want to end on optimism or end on whatever the opposite of optimism is? Realism?
Anti-love, because I'm, okay, you know, that's my vibe.
Cool. okay, so this is an anti-love poem, and it's called Everyone I've Spoken To Doesn't Want You to Succeed. On mornings when I feel like a fire on a rooftop, arms up, at the edge, eager but unable to fall, I know a bright light finds me and it's all over. When the drunk sang, I sunk down to the level of their shoulders or shrunk to meet the face of whoever I was talking to, but just a little lower, as if my eyes weren't clawing every corner of her for an exit. Aphorism 1. When starting down the path of love, dig 2 graves. Aphorism 1. They're both for you. I never in my life believed a thing that wasn't trying to kill me. Most restaurants have an exit through the kitchen. Some fire escapes only take you to the roof. The ladder back up to the platform is usually located near the front end of the train. Love always ends in an open grave or a shut blossom, and you don't need claws to tease your body out. So that's an anti-love poem because depression.
Yeah. But it's nice.
Cat noises. So yeah.
Oh, cats like poetry.
And poetry likes cats.
Mm-hmm. You had an O moment.
I did. Did I?
You said oh.
I do that a lot. I get excited. I'm an excitable young man. Oh, love poem. Love poem.
Love poem. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Another one.
Okay, here's a love poem to balance out the anti-love poem, because I am ambivalent, not against.
Because I love love.
Love is so cool when it works.
Even if it doesn't, when it's working for that moment.
Yeah.
Talk about it's moments. Yeah. Like in that moment, you're expansive. You are one with the universe.
Oh, man. You are large. You contain multitudes.
We are all love.
Yeah, that's okay. So beautiful.
Will you share your love poem with me?
I will.
Us?
We think we can see inside a diamond without tearing it apart. And when the wall looks green because of light reflected off of grass outside the window, or looks red because you parked your Honda on the street, it is green and it is red. I don't know which parts of you I'm already adding to my me, my mimic simulacrum. Tell my body to me again with your fingers. Love poem.
Love poem.
Romance.
Yes, for love.
I like it. So Ink and Worm is a show about reading and writing. I'm so grateful that you guys were able to make it here. I like to end my shows with rapid fire questions. These are related more to like general books, but you can always throw some poetry in there. I won't like cut you off. And the answer can also be, I don't know, right? So it's like rapid fire. We can talk about the same question for the rest of the time, or we might get through all of them. You guys ready for this?
I think, yeah, sure.
No, all right. But go on.
What book have you not gotten around to reading?
Infinite Jest.
I haven't read it either.
I'm a bad person.
Everyone who has read it tells me that I need to read it, and I'm like, well, that's nice. I tried like three times, and I get like shut down by the bulk of it, and the story doesn't grab me in like a provocative way.
This is blasphemy in the 21st century.
I know.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm not a real human being right now. Actually, I'm an alien.
Moments of awareness. Like babies.
Yeah. Like babies. Which is why I'm scared of them. I know what they are. So, what book have you not gotten around to reading? Anything come to mind?
I would say anything Tom Sawyer. Like, I've always seen his books on the shelves, but I've never gotten to it.
Mark Twain, yeah. Tom Sawyer?
Yes. But yeah. I'm currently reading Otherland by Tad Williams, Volume 3. Great book.
I haven't read that.
Yeah.
I'll put it on my list, the never-ending list. You know how it goes. What book do you remember your parents reading to you?
I guess maybe old African storybooks. But
cool.
I don't know the names of them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, he's classic. Dr. Seuss is a good creative children's book. Do you have any rituals related to your reading or writing? You write yourself emails, which is nice.
I don't know. I try to write once a week, like a legit poem, you know. Like, you know, I do free write here and there, but I try to do, like, whole long theory-based poems.
Like something composed.
So I like to make my poetry an extension of the invisible hand of Moloch, the Sumerian god that's sort of shaped like an owl. So I will usually try to find some sort of sacrifice I can make to Moloch before I write a poem. So I will.
Is this
burn...
legitimate?
No, I'm lying.
Because my friend actually did come across an animal sacrifice in Prospect Park, which is apparently legal as long as you don't kill the animal on site.
That's so much cooler than this. That's better than Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry.
Can we do this over and you just talk about that?
Oh, shoot. Rewind. Right. 54 minutes. Let me try again. You've done it all wrong. Maybe I'll have you guys on again and we can have...
Yeah.
We'll fix it in post.
We'll talk about, like, some black magic stuff.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'd be so down for that.
Some occult.
I know too much, you know, like, with knowledge comes responsibility. like...
Great knowledge comes great responsibility.
Like this, what was it? Moloch? Wait, who is it?
Moloch?
Moloch, or is it Moloch?
I always hear Moloch, but that's because that's how Allen Ginsberg used to say
it. Because some people say Moloch Owl. I don't know. It's M-O-L-E-C-H, something like that, right?
Okay. Like, I mean,
I think you can Google it. Yeah. Google will help you find it. I'll Google it for you and put it in the notes.
Google will help you find Moloch. don't go to him.
But some ritual animal sacrifice before you write?
I tend to sacrifice a small amount of bourbon to myself.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Is there a book you read that assisted in your transition from puberty? Like, I feel like there's a book that you're like, I was a child, and then I read this book, and I felt things, and I felt like something shifted. Is there a book that did that for you?
Who wants to go first? Well, I would say Otherland, but I read the first volume in high school. My teacher gave it to me, my English teacher. He said, you like this book. I was in 10th grade. I was like 15.
And now you're on the third?
No. I graduated college. Yeah.
Oh, but you're on the third Otherland book.
Yeah. I'm on a third volume now. And like, so I read the first volume and I only read like one chapter and it was too much for me, but I knew it was intense, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I got enough information that allowed me to just explore more into the Zen world and virtual reality and everything.
Oh, cool.
And then I came back to the book a year ago, which was last year, and I started it from beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. How about you? Anything coming to mind?
I don't have a good answer, but I did read all of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when I was going through puberty. Which
my
was
last guest mentioned that. She's
really?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
The movie didn't do it justice.
No.
Though the movie was good. The movie was good, but it
wasn't.
The movie
was good, but it
wasn't. Nothing's ever going to be as good as those books.
No. And you guys reread books? I just started doing that. So it speaks to this experience of, like, I'm a different person. So when I go back and read this book that I read as a 14-year-old, like, it's a completely different experience because I'm different. Anyways.
Yeah. I read one book once, twice. It's called The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury.
Yes, very nice.
Really like that.
Nice work. How do you guys find the books or maybe the poetry that you read?
With books, it just falls on me. Like, I feel like books kind of pick me, and I don't really pick them, and I kind of like it that way.
Mm.
And with poetry, I don't really read a lot of poetry. I read it in college when it was necessary, but I just come up with my own thing.
With poetry, I find it usually by accident through serendipity. With nonfiction, I go looking for it. Like, right now I'm reading this book about medieval understandings of revenants and ghosts because I'm writing a long poem about necromancy, so I need to, like, know stuff.
Yeah.
And, with novels, I have very opinionated smart friends, and so they tend to say, you need to read Atticus Lish because you need to, and oh my god, and then I eventually do.
You get around to it. Nice. What's showcased on your bookshelf at home? If I were to walk in, what would be like eye level or out on the coffee table? You both laugh.
I don't have a bookcase. I have a pile of books at the foot
me
of
too.
My bed.
Yep.
But what was showcased until just now when I lent it to a friend was a mini-series of comics called Nameless by Grant Morrison that's like weird horror stuff, people in space, and maybe there's an alien that's in an asteroid that has psychic powers, and maybe it's secretly God.
Ooh. How about you? Anything?
Pile the only thing on my coffee table right now is a cannabis coffee table book. My friend's a grower, so he just gave it to me as like a gift, you know. Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being here, you guys. I had a lot of fun.
And, I did too.
This was a great time.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Yes,
Day.
To all of us.
To Woo! All of us.
Woo!
Yay. Romance.
Yay.
Let's do that Black Magic episode.
Stay up all night. Things you could do, you won't, but you might. The potential you'll be